A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. I've really grown in appreciation for the gift of motherhood in this past year as my sisters are starting to have babies. Anything 9 months is a really long time to carry a child. And like, there's a certain way of thinking about that. It's like, okay, the baby has to grow, the baby has to grow, the baby has to grow. But also the mother has to prepare. You think in a husband and a wife, like one day she finds out she's pregnant and something shifts in her mind. I'm a mother now. Like there's this whole emotional, like psychological shift in her that she's like responsible for this person. And you have no idea how you're going to do anything, and that's okay. And yet, like, there's going to be 8 months, 9 months to prepare. How is it that I desire to be a mother? How is it, boys are different. We don't carry babies. But they don't have the same preparation in their bodies as a woman does. And it's a kind of a mercy in many ways that God designed pregnancy to be this way, especially for the mother, to grow into the gift that she is as a mom. And for the men, they kind of have to come along a little bit later. And once the nurse hands them this child and says, this is your baby. And it's, yeah, you've been growing in love and attention towards this person, but it's a different sort of connection, a different sort of preparation. This season of Advent is truly one of preparation. Like we are preparing ourselves to be able to welcome and to embrace the Lord more in our lives. And John the Baptist is really the icon of preparation. That when all of Israel, all of Jerusalem, all of the prophets before them had failed to recognize the coming of the Messiah, last week we hear in the Gospels Jesus' instruction, and St. Paul repeats it, to stay awake, stay awake. And St. John the Baptist is this super alert, super awakened man of God, that even when he was in his mother's womb, in Elizabeth's womb, he recognizes the presence of Jesus in Mary's womb, and he leaps for joy. Even in infancy, he knows who the Messiah is, who the Christ is. And it wasn't his job to be out preaching. John the Baptist, yes, a holy man, but it was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who should have been preparing others for the coming of Jesus into the world. Nobody tapped John on the shoulder and gave him, you know, a name card and a plaque that says John's the one who's going to be preaching in the wilderness. John knows in his heart, we need to prepare lest we miss God who's coming into our midst. There needs to be some sort of preparation. And so John goes out into the desert. He doesn't go into the cities. So often the cities are places of filth where our lives get run amok. John goes out into the desert. And wouldn't you believe it? Like people stream towards him. If John the Baptist lived today, I think we would be so freaked out that nobody would go out to him. He's out here wearing camel's hair, leather belt, eating locusts and wild honey. Like he wouldn't be invited into gas stations these days. John the Baptist is something of a crazy man. And wouldn't you know it, people keep streaming. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him. And they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the leaders, religious leaders of the time, are going out to him. And I get this sense that the people in the cities were just fed up. It's like John is actually preaching something different. That I can't have my cake and eat it too. The way that I've been living isn't working. And so I'm going to go out, I'm going to acknowledge my sins and say, I want to turn away from the life of old. And I want it so bad, I want myself to be, as it were, drowned, immersed in the waters of the Jordan River, to put away the life of old, so that I can be prepared for when the Lord comes. I remember last Easter Vigil, I think we baptized like 15 people. We have this, you know, we have the baptismal font. But the thing opens because we do full immersion baptisms. You guys know this? The water was super hot. It was like a hot tub in there. I was sweating baptizing people. But we baptized like 15 people, and there was one college student who I got to baptize, and he has a real calm, cool, collected affect. And as we were going through the process, I was thinking, are you really ready? Like, do you know what it means to give your life to Christ? Like, do you realize what happens in baptism, that we put away all the sin, put away the life of old, and we claim a new dignity in Jesus Christ, that we belong to God the Father, we don't belong to the world? Were you really ready for this? Are you geared up for this? And he comes down into the water where I am, and I've kind of like got to support people as they're going down. So I've got my hand on my back, on his back, and a hand on his chest. And I remember putting my hand on his chest, and his heart rate was probably like 230 beats per minute. And for all the times I was maybe suspicious or questioning him, like, he knew exactly what was happening in that moment. It maybe wasn't showing on his face, but that I dunked him in the waters three times. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And on the third time, he comes up and he's crying. Like, all the pain, all the heartache, all the hurt and woundedness of the sinful world we live in gets washed away. And that's the gift that John the Baptist was inviting them to. Different than Jesus, John the Baptist was just preaching repentance. And that still needs to happen every day, that I need to repent. I need to say, Lord, I do this thing. I have this attitude. This has all gone wrong. I want to repent of that. I want to move away from that. That's just the first move of repenting. And the second move is to say, what I do desire is this. I want to cling to you. I want to be faithful. I want to know the truth and to live by it. Lord, I want you to be the number one concern of my life. During this Advent season, my eyes, my mind, my heart thinks of the innkeeper. One of the saddest and sweetest lines in all the scriptures is that Mary laid the child in the manger because there was no room for him at the inn. There was no room for him at the inn. And if you and I play the innkeeper this Advent season, we have to ask, what's clogging up all the rooms of my inn? What's taking up my attention? Where am I putting my efforts? Where am I putting my time? Where am I putting my money? How is it that I'm living in such a way that keeps the Christ out? And yet, in all of it, Jesus is born, laid in a manger, and the glory of God can still appear there. Where there's barn animals and poop and everything else, the nonsense of our lives, that the glory of God can even appear there. The angels come out and they sing glory to God in the highest. So wherever we find ourselves in this spectrum of being prepared for Advent, being prepared for the coming of Christ at Christmas, we hear the invitation of St. John the Baptist today. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight his paths. Everyone streamed to John the Baptist because they were fed up. And there's parts of us that are super fed up. And we need to cling to Christ and welcome him this Advent season. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.